the Imperial Itch. Several weeks ago, I caught an astonishing sight on TV. It wasn't eye-stopping video or big set explosions or an unusually scantily clad damsel dancing across the glass window. It was four men sitting down discussing in calm, deliberate terms the nature and virtues of the American Empire. They discussed the cost-benefit of invading this or that nation, how many troops would be required, how long it would take to pacify the natives and the like, how many casualties. This was discussed mathematically, with totals rounded off to the next hundred. Of course, when they spoke of casualties, they meant Americans, for it seemed clear to all concerned that the deaths or lives of the sub-imperial others, what Germans in the 30s called the Untermenschen, or subhumans, were beneath civilized discussion. When I sat watching them, I thought that this could have been a scene out of 19th century Berlin, when Bismarck and his other imperial cronies were carving up the world like slices of pie, determining for the next several centuries the destinies of billions of people. It dawned on me that we are truly captured in the midst of this imperial age. Wars are fought with the selfish ease of eating a meal. In the time it takes to blink an eye, politicians turn on a dime, campaigning for wars on a whim, and moments later claiming that the war was for the benefit of those warred upon. I'm often amazed at how similar such an argument was in favor of slavery. Tens of millions of Africans were dragged to the Americas to toil in feverish hells for centuries for their own good. And what of the bloody nationalist uprisings raging across the occupied Iraq? They are terrorists, we are assured, by the manufactured politicians and their corporate media. It is but a bit part of this endless war against terrorism that seemingly sparks terrorism where it has not existed before. After viewing how blithely the Americans, let us not speak of silly coalitions, okay, have attacked, occupied, and installed its complacent puppets in control, is there any wonder why Al-Qaeda is growing by leaps and bounds, not just in the Arab world, but in Europe as well? In such a state as this, that promised greater loss and hardship and, well, terror, does the upcoming presidential race look like an exercise in utter futility? Would it really mean any substantive difference between what has come before or mere differences in degree? What does it really matter if all that happens is a kinder, gentler imperialism, one which is, well, nice? I'm reminded of the words of Hitler's number two, Hermann Göring, regarding the ease with which wars are called for by leaders. Quote, "Voice or no voice, the people can always be brought to do the bidding of the leaders. That is easy. All you have to do is tell them they're being attacked and denounce the peacemakers for lack of patriotism and exposing the country to danger. It works the same in any country," he said. The recollections coming from former members of the White House inner circle are less surprising than they were simply obvious. The Bush White House wants to wage war against Iraq from day one? How shocking. What would have truly been shocking is if they hadn't. For then, they would have flown in the face of 50 years of American post-World War II history. What is needed won't indeed come from the corporate parties. It must come from the people themselves. From Death Row, this is Mumia Abu-Jamal. These commentaries are produced by Noel Hanrahan for Prison Radio.